Shalom uvracha, everybody. Welcome back to our Frun family shir, hosted by Congregation Shari Tefillah. We are learning the Zecher and the Yilui Nishmas of Miriam Frun, Miriam Bas Chaim Yitzhak, Allah HaShalom. We hope and we daven that the zchus of these Divrei Torah serves as an aliyah neshama and zechir neshama latova. To Miriam Bas Chaim Yitzhak, Allah HaShalom. And we continue to thank the Frun family very much for their weekly unwavering commitment to these Divrei Torah that we share, and our Vodas Hashem L'Zecher Nishmaser Mother Lal Sham. I also want to point out that Chof Dalet Kislev is the yahrzeit of the Gaon, the Tzaddik, the Gadol Hadar, Rav Aaron Leib Shteinman, Zecher Tzaddik V'Kadosh L'Vracha, Shuso Yagein Aleinu. There are no words to describe such a Gadol, but tremendous loss when we lose Gadol, the stature of Avraham Leib Shteinman, Zecher Tzaddik Livracha, whose total, in essence, of every moment of his life was to strive to better his portion, Olam Haba, come closer to the Ribono Shel Olam, Birmar Brits Torah, Ma'isim Tovim, and Mekadesh Shem Shemayim, and all of his actions, and we can only learn and be inspired. So we are in the middle of a piece by Rabbi Joseph B. Soloveitchik, the Rav Zatzal. And it is from the Sefer, like I said last time, Days of Deliverance, Essays on Purim and Chanukah. And we're talking about the Chanukah miracle. If tonight is early on Chaf Dalet Kislev, I was mentioning that tonight, tomorrow is the Yahrzeit of Avraham Leib Shteinman, is the Yahrzeit of Chaf Dalet Kislev. And tomorrow night we will be Zocha, Be'ezer Hashem, we shall all be well, to light the Chanukah Lecht. So we are understanding and speaking a little bit about the nature of the Chanukah miracle and how it should inspire us. And not only that, but we will also learn how relevant it is for our day and our time. Did anyone see today, it's going to come up in shir, did you see the video from Gaza? The soldiers are outside a makeshift shul, and one of the soldiers saying, mincha, mincha. They're looking for like an extra man for mincha. No, it was like 5 second video, 5 seconds. There's two of them by the entrance, and one of them goes outside, and he's saying, mincha, mincha. They're looking for another one to come join the mincha. So what really is the koach of the neshama of Am Yisrael? My brother sent another, you know, the Shai, what's his last name? Daddy's son. How do you pronounce his last name? Gaucher. So he's going all over doing unbelievable acts of Ma'isim Tovim and Chasadim, and he's visiting with Rachman Atzan, victims of the October 7th massacre, injured in the hospital, and asking them what, you know, what's your wish, what would you like? So for example, I saw today a visit with a soldier who was not wearing a kippah on his head, who's having a surgery tomorrow. He said the only thing he wants is that Klal Yisrael should daven for him. He's having surgery on his leg. He wants the tefillot of Am Yisrael that he should have refuah shleima. And he visited with a family today. The two little children were there. It was grandmothers, maybe aunts. The grandmother. He was talking to the grandmother. Two little children, the parents were murdered. And there's these two little children. Their faces were blurred out. Their smile. They're young children. And he said, you know, what can we do for the neshama? She said, the only thing I want you to stop. And she said, as a sefer Torah, the lunishmat her children. She said, that's the only thing she wants. So what really is the spirit of Knesset Yisrael? And what is the spirit of Chanukah? So now we go back to Rabbi Joseph B. Soloveitchik, the Rav, we're in the middle of the piece. Surely we must grant that the traditional Jew sought to avoid confrontation with the enemy. In Galus, the best thing is, if possible, to avoid confrontation with the enemy, feeling that too much political pride can lead to great disaster, sometimes even suicidal ones. Our sages, for example, tried to prevent the battle between Rome and the zealots of Jerusalem, the rebels, going back to the time of Baisheni. Who knows how Jewish history would have developed had Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai led the struggle instead of Shimon bar Giora or Yochanan of Gush Chalav. So instead of the warriors fighting, trying to assert political pride, how would it have gone down if the Rabbanim led the battle? We don't know the answer to that question because we don't have the possibility to go back in time and see another alternative. But imagine, the traditional Jew believes, says Rav Soloveitchik, that no political power will last forever. Arbias Gold Tzadak. The history has shown that no political, strictly political power lasts forever. And therefore, the traditional Jew preferred to exercise a bit of patience and restraint. It relates to Tamar in this week's parasha, Parak Lamed Ches. What does Tamar contribute, says Rav, in a totally different sefer, on the journey of Abraham's journey. What does Tamar contribute to Melech HaMashiach? It's a Parak HaMashiach. She's one of the mothers of the Messiah. What does she contribute to Knesset Yisrael? patience. She married Er, she married Onan, they both died, and Judah says, go sit in your father's house in mourning until Shelah grows up. And he has no intention of giving her Shelah, and she waits, and she waits, and she waits, and she waits for a personal redemption. And the Rav says, all of her friends got married, everybody moved on in life, people were advancing, and she was waiting, and waiting, and waiting. And he says, is she not the incarnation of Knesset Yisrael, who has waited, and waited, and waited for her beloved for so many millennia? The traditional Jew prefers to exercise patience and restraint rather than waging a bloody battle. Sometimes, says the Rav, one must fight, as did Avram Avinu. He quotes from the War of the Four Kings and the Five Kings. And as occurred in 1948, when the Jews were attacked by 7 Arab armies, so sometimes it's necessary. And I said, did you see the video in Gaza? Mincha, mincha. So sometimes, of course, it's necessary. Kol Kol Yaakov. When we were in Eretz Yisrael in November 2016 on a teaching trip, I don't remember the speaker who spoke, but he said something that, November 2016, it's stuck in my head. I don't know who the speaker was. I don't remember what else he was talking about. It was an Israeli chief of police, maybe? I don't remember. No, not the chief of police. I don't remember. But he said, what was a Kol Kol Yaakov, a Yedayim Yedei Ishav, from Birkas Yaakov, Birkas Yitzchak, to Yaakov, in Toldos, Perch of Zion. Your primary koach is a kol kol Yaakov. Your primary koach is the voice. Mincha, mincha. It's a 5-second video clip. He's looking around to see if there's anyone else to come join the minion. But sometimes you need a daimi deisav. When you primarily, it's a kol kol Yaakov. But when you need to fight, you should have hands like Esav. You should be able to fight with great strength. So sometimes it's necessary, like Avram, when he had to go to battle to rescue Lot. Sometimes it's necessary, says the Rav. It occurred in 1948 when Jews were attacked by 7 Arab armies. But sometimes one must act as Yaakov did before Esav. We're going back to Parshas Vayishach. It's just last week, Parsha. And he passed himself over before them. He bowed to the ground 7 times until he came near to his brother. The beginning of Perek Lamed Gimel. So what was Yaakov? Submission. Don't kill me. Don't kill my family. He sent hundreds of animals. Submission. He's not interested in political power, Yaakov. When Esav says, we'll travel together, Yaakov says, it's fine. I'm slower than you. The children, the flocks, I can't push them. You go ahead. He doesn't want politically to enmesh with Esav. But there is another kind of pride and inferiority. Not political. Remember, this is an essay on Hanukkah. So in that case, it's a perfect example as well. The Malkamim had to fight, because sometimes you need to fight. They needed to physically wage a war against 45,000 Syrian Greek soldiers. But that wasn't the primary objective. The primary objective was not the military battle, and that's why we don't celebrate the military battle. That's why we celebrate the miracle of the oil, because the oil represents neshama. We quoted Mishchai Levin a few weeks ago that it's the internal neshama. When you squeeze the oil internally, the oil comes. When you squeeze the olive, the oil comes out. There's another kind of private inferiority, not political pride, but cultural, spiritual. Cultural, our mesorah, our customs, our mitzvahs, our halachos, our minhagim, and spiritual, our ruchnius. Many times one can fight heroically for one's political rights, but nevertheless, deep in one's heart, they may respect and admire the adversary. You can fight a political battle, but the question is, what's happening inside your heart? Do you really admire the other side? Then, after the political struggle is over, the defeated one begins to fight his enemy spiritually and overthrows him. We have many examples of this in history. Rome was victorious. I don't know anything about it, so I'm quoting. Rome was victorious over Greece in the battlefield, but the powerful Rome adopted nearly all of Greek culture and cult. So there's not always a one-to-one correlation between political struggle and victory and spiritual struggle and victory. It gives an example that even though Rome was victorious over Greece politically, militarily, in the battlefield, after the physical battle was over, what did they take upon themselves? The Greek culture. That's exactly right. When the Greeks were enslaved by Rome, the Roman aristocracy actually spoke and wrote in Greek. The same thing happened later in Central Europe and France after the Napoleonic Wars. A nation can sometimes demonstrate extraordinary bravery and strength on the battlefield. You could be militarily very strong. You could politically subjugate the enemy and subsequently lose the struggle on the spiritual cultural field. So there is not a one-to-one correlation between how strong our army is and how strong our political entity is. And our culture and our spirit. Obviously, we see where he's going with here. I was actually here a few weeks ago. Rabbi Zav Lef, I was listening to a shir. And he said, every midah is neutral. Amida is not positive or negative. We know that the Gemara famously says if someone has a thirst for blood, so they should become a mayil or a shochet. Every mida is neutral. It's what you do with it. So he even gave an example of gaiva. How could gaiva, which is generally one of the most despicable midos, how could gaiva be used for good? So he gave a very practical example. He says if a person is keeping Torah mitzvos and other people are making fun of them, people make fun of them for their observance of Torah mitzvos, whether it's a chumran something or a chav yisrael, you think you're so religious, I'm just throwing out ideas. Yashon, what's Yashon, whoever heard of such a thing, I'm throwing out ideas, whatever. That's how you dress, that's the places you won't go to, that's the hashkacha you rely on, whatever it is. You go to so many shirim, whatever it is. One can have pride when it comes to Torah mitzvos over people who denigrate or mock them. We live in a society that totally mocks. Forget one second other people who might make negative comments. The society around us at large mocks everything that Yehada stands for. In order to be an Eved Hashem and to take pride in being an Eved Hashem and to cling to our Mesora, Minhagim, and Alacha, we need a certain sense of gaiva. It's the gaiva that fuels us to be proud of who we are and how we behave, to be proud of our spirituality. That's what Rabbi Zavlov said. I thought it was so interesting. He was talking about there's no mida that's positive or negative. It's how you apply it. Why are you smiling?
Do you remember that article you read from Mishpacha, Ronnie Greenblatt, when he davened mincha
in the German airport? It was Rabbi Ronnie Greenwald.
Greenwald, sorry.
Rabbi Gwani Vilnal. There's a new biography out on Rav Nata Greenblatt. Somebody else said, yes. Rabbi Ronnie Greenwald, that's exactly a perfect example. Mm-hmm. I don't have it here, but it's a perfect example. They were in the German airport. He was with Rabbi Aaron Kotler, not Rav Aaron Kotler, so it's Rabbi Aaron Kotler, who was the CEO of Beis Medrash Gavah. He was the CEO. He is. What? Operation overseer.
Yeah,
right, correct. So they were together traveling, that's exactly right, and someone in the airport said, I think it was airport personnel, very nice, is a perfect example, something like go back to concentration camps or the Nazis should have finished you off.
We don't have any synagogues here and we haven't had any since like Kristallnacht or something.
It was a negative comment about the Nazis that they should have finished the job better. And Rabbi Reiner Greenwald said, we're davening mincha right here, right now. That's exactly right. And he said, right here, he said, yes. And two Israelis, beautiful example, secular, he said, covered in tattoo Israelis, walked by and said, you have to make your praying service. And when they told the two Israelis what the Germans said, they joined their prayer. And it wasn't a minion. They didn't have a minion, but they just stood there in the davening. That's an excellent, excellent, excellent example. So that's beautiful. Rabbi Zavlev says that Rabbi Zavlev says that every midah is neutral, and we cannot say a midah. I remember. It was on Parshas Toldos. Was Esav bad from the womb? If he was bad from the womb, how does a person have bechira chafshis? If he was a Rasha from before he came out, how could you blame Esav for being a Rasha? And if Yaakov was a tzaddik from before he came out, then how could you give him schar for being bechir shabavos? So he went through Esav's life, very interesting, and showed how every midah of Esav could have been used for good. And he said Esav would have been malchus, and Yaakov would have been kohuna, and they would have worked together. Says when Rashi says that when she passed by a house of Avodah Zarah, Esav was running and kicking to come out. It doesn't say Rashi says he was kicking to come out to do Avodah Zarah. Rabbi Zavlov said maybe he was kicking to come out to destroy the house of worship. So that's what the shir was on. In other words, a person is not created bad or good. A person is created with midos, and we all have different midos. So some people have more pride, some people more jealousy, some people more anger, some people more bloodlust. But every midah can be used for the positive. I'm tying it into this essay because Rav Soloveitchik is explaining that more important for the survival of Klal Yisrael over the long term than political prowess is spiritual prowess. Spiritual pride, which is really what the Maccabim. Yes, sometimes we do need to fight. Hashem Yishmar al Kulam. Today we need to fight. But Mincha, Mincha. The bereaved grandmother, Hashem Yirachim, he said, what do you want? Shai Grousher? Grousher? How do you pronounce his last name?
I don't know if it's Grousher, but it's
And she was crying. She said, I want a Sefer Torah, Zecher Nishmatam. That's what she said she wanted. On the other hand, there are people with less political pride. This is obviously all related to the Maccabim. On the Nes of Hanukkah. There are people who have less political pride, who do not stubbornly defend their every right, yet possess spiritual, cultural pride. Spiritual, ruchnius, culture, armasora, great pride, and defend their values, their ideals, and their precepts, which is perfect, the example you gave of Mincha in the German airport. They are fully conscious of their self-worth and their uniqueness. We must all be fully conscious of our self-worth. I'm not only talking about as individuals. For sure, a person has to be conscious of his self-worth as an individual, but I'm talking about now as part of Klal Yisrael. And our uniqueness as part of Klal Yisrael. And will never give up their spiritual treasures or sell their birthright for a bowl of pottage. In other words, they will never sell their birthright for a bowl of lentil stew. They will never sell their birthright for any money in the world. In other words, political inferiority does not go hand in hand with spiritual inferiority and submissiveness. One can strive to be politically inferior if it will save a life, if you know it will help you in Galus, in Chutz La'aretz, under the Umas Olam, but that does not mean it goes hand in hand with spiritual inferiority or with submissiveness before the Umas Olam. And that is something that we cannot have before the Umas Olam. The best example of this sort of paradoxical bravery is the bravery of the traditional Jew. And now he quotes from Yaakov as he's preparing for his meeting with Esav. And the pasuk says, "Vayalon sham balayla hahu." The fight between Yaakov and the Sarshal Esav is the fight of every Jew throughout Galus with the Sarshal Esav. The Sarshal Esav wanted to physically, politically destroy Yaakov. But Yaakov, with great tenacity, held on to who he was and to his essence. And ultimately, he was not defeated. He was injured. He was limping, but he was not defeated. And he lodged there that night. Vayalansham balayla hahu. Oh, let me just tell you the full pasuk because he's going to expand on it, okay? It's Parak Lamed Beis Pasuk Yudalad for your reference. It's the night before the confrontation, right before he meets Sarshal Esav. Vayalansham balayla hahu. He slept there. He lodged there that night. Vayikach min ababi yado mincha le'esav achiv. And he took from that which was in his hand a present for his brother Esav. He sent him hundreds of animals. And he lodged there that night for centuries, says the Rav. Jews lodged during a long, dark diaspora night in all sorts of ghettos, unprotected, helpless, without rights, abandoned, despised, and alone. For centuries, I'm repeating it. Jews lodged during a long diaspora night in all sorts of ghettos, unprotected, helpless, without rights, abandoned, despised, and alone. I think before October 7th, we are all certainly aware of Jewish history. I come from four survivor Holocaust grandparents, which I speak about often, which has tremendously shaped my psyche. I still can't help it. I'm not joking. Today I made a minestrone soup and a vegetable quiche, so there was a lot of vegetables to peel. Literally, every time I peel vegetables, I don't say it out loud. The kids, every time I peel vegetables, I was looking at the garbage. I'm like, you know how much food there is in this garbage can? Really, I'm making a joke. All the carrot peels. And even when I'm peeling the onion, I think to myself, would they have eaten the raw onion just to have some food, not to skin the onion? The vegetable peels, the ends of the zucchini, the ends of the carrots, the sweet potato peel. This is what I think when I...
That's what my grandmother ate when she was in Auschwitz.
Until October the 7th, one of my grandmothers was also in Auschwitz. The other one was from Poland, I'm not sure, but my Hungarian grandmother was in Auschwitz as well. She was in the sewing room for the Germans. She sewed uniforms. I think until October 7th, we were all like aware of Jewish history. There were incidents of terrorism that we were aware of, but I don't know if we really appreciated the extent of what living in Gaulis really means. For centuries, Vayalon Sham Balayla Hahu, Yaakov is dwelling, the exile of every Jew and every millennia. Jews lodged during a long, this sentence means a lot. Has a different connotation post October 7th. I just saw someone send me a meme. Actually posted originally by a rabbi in one of the Hezder Yeshivot in Israel. And it said, it was in Ivrit, how could it be Hanukkah? It's still Simchas Torah. For centuries, Jews lodged during a long, dark diaspora night in all sorts of ghettos, unprotected, helpless, without rights, abandoned, despised, and alone. But in the morning, he would pray a remarkable prayer, that same Jew. And he would say, oh God, I must soon go out to the street. I must earn something to support my family. I know perfectly well my appearance will elicit the nasty expression, Jud, or Jid, or dirty Jew. I know a stone may strike my head. I know a nasty dog may attack me. So I beg you, dear God, let me not get angry. Let my tongue and my lips not instinctively utter improper words. Will makalai nafshi sidam, to those who curse me, let my soul be silent. Let me not feel insulted. Let it not bother me. And to those who curse me, I just said it in Hebrew, let my soul not be done. We say it at the end of Shemona Esrei. Al kai nitzar l'shoni meira. That's what he's quoting. Usfasai medaber mirma. Let my soul be unto all as dust. Let he who pursues me be ashamed, not me. In moments of persecution and libel, the same Jew would try to contend with the cruelty of his enemies and oppressors, with appeals, with pleading, with bribery and gifts. Ah, vayikach min haba biyado mincha le'isav achiv. You are my animals? You could have hundreds of them. Camels and nursing camels and goats and oxen and bull. Sends Esav hundreds of animals. Vayikach min haba biyado mincha le'isav achiv. The Jew would try to contend. Everything that happens in Bereishis is ma'isa alasim on the bottom. Would try to contend with the cruelty of his enemies through an oppressor simply by appeals and pleading through bribery and gifts. Ayikach min haba biyado mincha le'isav achiv. In truth, Jews successfully annulled many cruel edicts through these means. And Yaakov did also. Esav was very appeased. Esav like won the lottery. It's like better than bars of gold. Hundreds and hundreds of animals is tremendous wealth. And it worked. And Esav didn't kill him. Baruch Hashem. The Jew's representative would come to the Lord. He would kiss his hand like did Yaakov. And he would say, sir, do me a favor. Accept this gift. After all, you are good and merciful. I know you do not seek it. I have oxen, he's quoting now, and donkeys and flocks, and men servants and maidservants. I have sent it all to tell my Lord. Yaakov said to Esav, may I find favor in your eyes? You want to say something?
Rev Miller, I don't know if you read the thing from Rev Victor Miller, Parshas Vayeshev. So he spoke about, he wrote about Yosef HaMelech when he...
Yosef.
He said when he was dragged through the streets by Potiphar and accused by
Potiphar,
he didn't protest. He was like, he took all the verbal abuse and all the humiliation, and he made himself like dust. And he said something that in Tehillim is as Imras Hashem Surafasu, that he also said that, you know, that nida of not trying to be so like using your, knowing where to use your gaiva and when to be humble, that, you know,
that Yosef displayed submissiveness before Esav's Potiphar?
That when he was dragged to the streets and accused, he didn't, you know, shout out, you know, this isn't fair, it's not true. He didn't try to self-defense. He took the humiliation, and that was what catapulted him to Malchus.
Very nice. That reminds me of something also that I also don't have because I didn't think of it, but only till you said that. A story Miriam Peretz tells over that she would tell her mother, she wrote, on consecutive Shabbatot. Let me see if I could find it. The joys of teaching from your computer in front of you. Reminds me exactly, Baruch Hashem. One of the coolest features of a MacBook is Spotlight Search. You have a MacBook Spotlight Search? It's amazing. You type in the Spotlight Search bar, the keywords that you're looking for, it searches your entire Mac. Contacts, documents, mail, web, gives you anything that matches your search. It's a really cool feature. Okay, that also reminded me of something. Miriam Peretz writes, this is how I told the story to my mother on consecutive Shabbatot. Once a soul went up to heaven, because you said, quote, when he was dragged through the streets after being accused, he was quiet. In other words, he didn't fight for political victory, but he fought for spiritual victory, and that's why he's a Hanukkah Jew. I just spoke about this in a different tree yesterday. Yosef is fighting for spiritual. Yonatan was one of the Maccabim, no? Yochanan was fighting for spiritual victory over Esav's Potiphar, and that's exactly what the Maccabim were fighting for also. Miriam Peretz says, this is how I told the story to my mother on consecutive Shabbatot. Once a soul went up to heaven, but it was not accepted into the Garden of Eden. The angels asked it to go back down to earth and bring up three gifts, which would allow it to open up the gates of Eden. The soul went back down to earth and took a simple pin, P-I-N, pin, needle. A young Jewish girl had used it to pin her skirt, quote, when she was tied to the tail of a horse that galloped through the city streets. So because you said that. The girl was so modest, she didn't want anyone to see any part of her flesh. And the pin pricked her and caused her to bleed. She continued to wear it to protect her modesty. The soul took the pin, soaked with her blood. It went up to heaven and the gift was accepted. On its second journey, the soul brought a single thread, string, from the keeper of a Jew who stood between two rows of men who whipped him. They flogged him mercilessly, and when they had their fill, he lifted his hand up to his head. He felt that the keeper had fallen off. He bent down to pick it up. The round of beatings began again, and he gave his soul back to his maker. The soul took a single thread from the keeper up to heaven, and the gift was accepted. I'm interrupting the story for a minute. My son came home from Hank yesterday, and he said a refusnik spoke. He's a very famous refusnik. When my son was in May, my older son, a bunch of years ago, they also had him, Yosef Mendelovich. I'm sure you've heard of him, Yossi Mendelovich. My son said it was unbelievable. He was in jail for 11 years. And the cell next to him was Natan Sharansky. They learned to communicate by flushing the toilets. That's what he said. He said 11 years. Why does this story make me think of Yossi Mendelovich? Because I remember it's in the book, and my son, so he spoke in May, he smuggled, somehow he was able to smuggle in strings for tzitzis into jail. I don't know how he was able to smuggle them in or get them. So the soul takes a single thread from this keeper, this Jew who was flogged mercilessly, and after the flog, he lifts up his hand. His keeper fell down. He bent down to pick it up, and he gave his soul to his maker. And this gift, a pin, a thread, they were both accepted. On the third journey, the soul reached the wastelands of Siberia, coming to the home of a Jew, just as a gang of robbers was breaking into his home. The Jew stood beside a small chest, and the robbers burst into his home, and he protected that chest with his body. The robbers pushed him. They felt surely a great treasure was hidden inside the chest. He fought them until he collapsed, because inside the chest was a box, and inside the box was dust from the ground of the land of Israel. The soul flew up with this dust to heaven, and the gates of Eden opened. Through the dust of the land of Israel, the pin and the thread, the soul entered the world to come.
Oh my gosh,
this is a story I used to tell my mother in Moroccan Arabic on Shabbat, and we would both cry. But only after Eliraz was killed did I feel that it was really my own. Today this relates to, unfortunately, Rahman al-Islam, thousands of Kedoshim and families in Eretz Yisrael. When Uriel, my eldest son, fell in battle, I wanted to bring the Master of the Universe one of the many thorns that pierced his hands and feet as he walked the land. I wanted to say, please accept my small offering, a thorn from the land of Israel, from the body of my son Uriel. Then my husband Eliezer died because he could not withstand the grief. I wanted to bring a single thread from his talit and say, please accept my humble offering. You know how much he prayed for the safety of this boy, and you know his talit was soaked with tears. After Eliraz, her second son, fell in battle, I wanted to bring some of the dust from Har Herzl, dust from the graves of Uriel and Eliraz. And I wanted to say to the Creator, don't force any mother to make this choice when they come to kneel at the grave of their son. Don't make them choose which stone they will kiss first. I've already given you three gifts. What more do you want? So he said, drag through the streets. There's a certain spiritual pride of Am Yisrael, a bloody pin, a thread from a kippah, dust from the land of Israel in a box in Siberia. No one else has next to their lachter rocks like they picked up in Eretz Yisrael. I have by my lachter, just rocks. I hope you're allowed to take them out. It's not Israel Antiquities Authority, nothing ancient, just rocks next to my candles. But our sages have said wisely, what is that which he had in his hand? What was he willing to give away to Esav? Profane things, not sacred things. All the gifts, all the sacrifices, all the tributes which the Jew brought to the lords of Esav. He's not talking about Yaakov and Esav. which the Jew brought to the lords of Esav during the long night of exile, consisted of profane objects, everyday possessions, gold, sheep, precious stones, political rights, you can have them. As long as Esav received only that which he had in his hand, economic goods, things that can be bought and sold, then Israel exhibited submissiveness. Inferiority, did not see that, Rav Avigdor Miller. But when Esav wanted a gift of Yaakov's sacred objects, is it the Yevanim want? When they wanted the holiness of family life, the Yevanim wanted to destroy Taras HaMashpacha. When they wanted Shabbos, one of the main things they wanted to read out. When they wanted Kashrus, when they wanted our belief and our tradition, our Amunah and our Mesorah, when Esav demanded that Yaakov compromise Torah and his way of life, then a remarkable transformation occurred within Yaakov. Suddenly, the coward, the quiet, the unassuming, the submissive Jew, who was not interested in political rights, became a hero, full of strength and stubbornness. Suddenly, the bent back straightened. The pitiful eyes began to spit fire. He refused Esav's request with chutzpah and determination. Yaakov told those who represented him in that dark diaspora night in the kingly palaces of Germany, Poland, Russia, Esav will begin to debate with you, to ask you about your beliefs, your hopes, and your ideals. He will propose, let us take our journey. Let us go together. I will go before you. When they finally meet, and Esav doesn't kill him because he's so happy with all the presents. What does Esav suggest? Vayomer, and Esav says, Nisa, Nisiatova.
Oh.
Let us travel. V'nelcha, we will go. V'elcha l'negdecha, Nisa, let's go together. V'nelcha, let's walk together. V'elcha l'negdecha, I will walk opposite you. Me and you will walk together. He will propose, let us take our journey. Let us go together. I will go opposite you. He will suggest that his religion and Judaism can easily merge, that we can all live together peacefully. Thousands were killed in the time of the Hanukkah miracle, which was a little more than 200 years before Churban Bayis Sheni. But the primary goal of the Syrian Greeks was not to annihilate Am Yisrael. They wanted one common culture and religion throughout their kingdom. What do they want? Shabbos. What do they want? Family purity. What do they want? Kashrus. What do they want? Torah. That was their primary goal. They will suggest religion and Judaism can easily merge. We can live together peacefully. In that case, you tell Esav, we can cooperate as long as we're dealing with profane matters. Business, politics, science, goats, camels and mules, precious gems and pearls. If he wants a gift, mincha hababiyado, he can have it. It is a present sent to my lord Esav. But the moment he demands more and begins to ask not for material possessions, but for our soul, for the holiness and purity of my family, of my Shabbos, of my God, we give a different response. Should he come and he asks us, this is what the Syrian Greeks wanted, where are you going? To whom do you belong as a spiritual creature? In which God do you believe? Which holidays do you observe? What do you teach your children? Then you should begin to speak a different language, the speech of a victorious hero. You should stop beseeching to find favor in his eyes. You should answer sharply and with pride. And that's why this essay reminded me of Rabbi Zavlev's Pshat, that no midah is bad or good. You can't go to God and say, you made me born with this midah, so I was a rasha, so I have an excuse. Every single midah, even the Rambam writes that all midahs you should be on the Shvil HaZahav, I think it's in Hilchos Deos, all midahs you should be on the Shvil HaZahav, except for Ka'as and Gaiva. But it's very interesting. Rabbi Zavlev said in the Shir, there's a way to make gaiva, and that's exactly what this essay is teaching us. That's exactly what Hanukkah comes to teach us. The political victory of Hanukkah was short-lived. It disappeared after Churban Bayis Sheni. But the spiritual victory of Hanukkah was forever. And it's a spiritual pride we still have today. You should answer sharply and answer with pride. You should say, when he says, what is your God? What is your religion? Can we go together? Oh, you went to Perek Lamed Gimel. Then you should say, when Esav says, he's quoting the Pesukim, he's paraphrasing all the Pesukim. Ki yifkashach, ki yifgashcha Esav achi, shall Esav meet you. Usha elcha leimor, and he asks you, saying, lemi ata? The anaseilech, ulemi elu lefanecha? When he has interest in your family, in your beliefs, in your religion. Va'amarta la'avdecha liyakov, minchi yishlucha adoni le'esav, v'inei gamu acharenu. La'avdecha liyakov. He's separating that from minchihi. The first answer is la'avdecha liyakov. These are mine. These are not to share. Minchi yishlucha adoni le'esav. Separately, I'm sending you presents, animals, precious gems, jewels, political rights, political prowess. La'avdecha liyakov. The family is mine. Shabbos is mine. My God is mine. These are not negotiable. I myself, my soul, my heart, my feelings, my hopes, and my beliefs belong not to you, but to Judaism. I myself, my soul, neshama, my heart, my lev, my feelings, my hopes, and my beliefs belong not to you, but to Judaism. By the way, Vayeshach is always going to be read in Kislev because the story of Yosef is always read by Chanukah. And this is the battle of Chanukah. And it's our battle today as well. This is what Yaakov announced throughout the generations to all of his representatives and all politicians. Did you not see the video? His wife and two daughters were released of the father who was speaking at the European Union, I think. It was unbelievable. I don't remember his name, I'm sorry. Him and his family should live and be well. He was speaking to the European Union. It was there like 34 days since his wife and his daughters had been kidnapped. I don't know if anyone in the European Union cared about. He was doing his estados. He was beseeching and pleading. And he said, no human being, 34 days. I have not heard anything about my wife. He has two young children and his wife. No one saw it. Did anyone see it? Yes, you saw it. Yes, exactly right. And at the end, he's in a room full of not only non-Jews, but anti-Semites who unfortunately don't care about missing Jews and kidnapped Jews. And he's not wearing a kippah. I don't know if he's dati or not. He was not wearing a kippah. At the end, he gets up. He stands up. Like, it's like, you should see it. It doesn't look like it's planned. It's spontaneous. After his speech, was about 3.5 minutes. He stands up. He puts one hand on his head, let's say his left hand. He covers his eyes with his right hand and he screams out, Shema Yisrael, Shema Kenu Shemecha. You could watch it. It was on the news. As the client saw, I don't know if anyone else saw it. And it seems to be very spontaneous. And he could be dati. I don't know. I'm stating fact. I don't know. It didn't appear to be. He could be. He puts his hand to cover his head because he's not wearing a kippah. He covers his eyes. He stands up to his full height and he screams out, Shema Yisrael, Shema Kenu Shemecha, in Lashon HaKodesh. This is what Jacob announced throughout the generations to all his representatives and all politicians. And when Esav persisted, and when he demanded things that are sacred, and the passive man, the coward, the man who says 3 times a day, V'lo makalai nafshi sidom, v'nafshi ka'afer lo kol tihia, becomes a fighter who resists Esav and all the Esavs throughout the generations of exile with great stubbornness. Over hundreds and over thousands of years, Jews in the darkness of the diaspora waited for the redemption. And they kept their faith in the coming of the Messiah. We already tied in the beginning of Shir Tamar in this week's Parsha. Through her union with Yehuda, she becomes the mother of Melech HaMashiach. The Rav has a whole beautiful essay in the other Sefer Abraham's journey of what each mother contributed to Melech HaMashiach. What did Bas Lot contribute to Melech HaMashiach? Perikites in the cave. What did Tamar contribute to Melech HaMashiach? This week's Parsha. And what did Rus contribute? And he goes through and shows how each of these mothers of Mashiach, their lineage, their stories are very dubious. Today no one will believe if you said, you know, I'm a mother of Mashiach. Did you hear what happened? Like, and he shows what each one contributes. When it comes to Tamar in this week's parasha, relates beautifully to this essay I told you in the beginning of the share. She has patience. Without giving up, she waits and she waits and she waits for Shayla. And when she knows Shayla isn't coming, she goes and she's with Yehuda. What?
And she has humility. She doesn't defend herself.
Very, very, very nice. Beautiful. And she also does not publicly stand up for her political rights. Very, very nice. Beautiful. She's actually being taken out to be burned. And she sends I'll tell you even better. Oh my gosh, it's even better. Esti Klein, thank you. Listen why it's even better. Esti Klein doesn't know why I'm saying thank you. Gevaldik. She sends three items back to Yehuda. Oh my gosh, you want to hear? It's all in this week's parsha.
A stick.
What?
Right, a stick, a cloak, a piece of thread, a needle.
No, no. No. Listen to this. Esther Klein sent me a link to Chabad Kabbalah. You know Chabad, and then they have like Kabbalistic essays. It was a little deep. I wasn't hopping the whole thing, to be honest. However, pointed out, it's in Parak Lamed Ches, that the three collateral items, it gets even better. Wait, let me just go where I'm going with this. Tamar contributes patience, not contributes. She is the reincarnation of Knesset Yisrael, who waits and waits. The Rav says over hundreds and thousands of years, Jews in the darkness of the diaspora waited for the redemption. And they kept their faith in the coming of the Messiah. Having lived through hundreds of Tisha B'Av fasts, they sat on the earth and they wailed. They longed for the land of their fathers. And when the beginning of the redemption arrived, then they would recover their secular possessions. Then they would recover their political freedom. Until Mashiach comes, we're not interested. You keep the cows, the goats, the sheep, the jewels. You want one thing, Torah. Mesorah, Minhag, Halacha, Shabbos, Taras HaMashpacha, Bris Mila, Rosh Chodesh. And very nice. So I'm relating this essay, where he speaks about patience, directly to Tamar, the mother of Melech HaMashiach, the midah that she brings to Knesset Yisrael's ability to wait. You noted, Shani, that she ties into the examples of the courageous warriors, spiritual warriors, who we gave examples of before, because she too, as she's being dragged to the street, she's being taken out. She's being taken out to be burnt. She doesn't say anything. She could have protested publicly. Political freedom, she's not interested. She sends back the collateral items, the chosem, the
signet,
the mata, and what is the wrap called? Who remembers? I want to quote the pasuk. He mutseis v'hishloch al chamilim. He mutseis. She's being taken out to be burnt because Rashi says she's the daughter of Malki Tzedek Shashleim and a daughter of a Kohen who commits znos, is chayiv sreifa. V'hishloch al chamilim. Le'isha she'ela lo nochi hara. Only him and her know. Rishon Bar Yochai says mutal v'adam she'apil atzma kibushan eish v'al yalbim p'nei chavir barabim. You want to hear this? You ready? I'd have to thank Esti Klein. Esti, the article was a little deep for me. I don't know if I was just not paying well enough attention, but this was gevaldik. Vatomer hakerna, lemi hachosames, vahapisilim, vahamata ha'ela. What are the wicks called with which we lay a Hanukkah candle? The pisil means wick. So I'm not taking credit, and I don't think Esti Klein is taking credit at all. She also sent me the article. Her Chabad, which tied in this whole thing to Hanukkah. I really was not hopping, but that really stood out. Pesil is one of the items that he gave her as a collateral. She sends it back, and she says, is the one who this belonged to, that's who I'm pregnant by. He says, Tzadka mimeni. Rashi says, Tzadka, she is right. Mimeni hi nisabra. The pesil is a wick. So to bring our whole shir, she didn't want political power. She wasn't interested in protesting in the streets. She wants the pasil. Is this yours? Is this your flame? With this will you light the fire of the neshama in the babies that I am carrying? And he says, Tzadka, she's right. She's a tzadik, es mimeni. And that pasil, which of course ties directly into Hanukkah, becomes Melech HaMashiach. Should freedom of the soul be destroyed, says the Rav. How gevaldik. One second. Esti Klein says, if she understood it, I could definitely understand it. Should freedom of the soul be destroyed, who will rebuild it? In other words, the freedom of the soul. Political freedom comes and it goes. I mean, just look at Jewish history. The Maccabi political freedom was very short-lived, a couple hundred years. But the pasil of the Maccabean victory is forever. The political freedom, says the Rav, will get back the cows and the camels and their nursing and the goats and the stones and the gems. Bias kol tzelek. And for right now, we daven. V'nafshi kafra l'kol sihiya. P'sachli bi b'sor secha. V'ar karei mitzvah secha turd of nafshi. That's what the Jew wants today. Those who curse me, let my soul be silent. Let me be meek. I mean, I'll fight for things which I can't win an ultimate victory for anyway. P'sachli bi b'sor secha. What I want is Torah. V'acharei mitzvah secha turd of nafshi. What I should be running after is mitzvos. But the minute the enemy says, who are these? Nisa v'nelcha. Let us go together. Let us journey side by side. The coward, the quiet, the submissive Jew becomes a hero. The bent back straightens up. La'avdecha le'Yaakov. These are not yours. They are off limits. That's what the Maccabim were fighting for. And that's why we light menorah. And that's Tamar and Melech HaMashiach. Is this your Pesiel? Because if it is, do not destroy what is inside of me. Chanukah is the everlasting Chanukah. The Chanukah of a people that knows its existence is assured as long as its sacred objects are protected. Chol Shmona Simei Chanukah, Haneru Salalu Kodeshim. During all the 8 days of Chanukah, these lights are sacred and the holiness is maintained. Ha-Gavaldek, isn't that Gavaldek? Hakerna, lemiha chosames, v'hapesilim, v'hamata ela, v'yaker Yehuda, v'yomer tzadkami meni. V'yihi be'esli data, v'yihi ne'tomim b'vitla. Peretz and Zarach come. And she's the mother of Melech HaMashiach. We should be zochet to see the pesil, the flame, the wick. Melech HaMashiach, immediately, Shasanisim of Asinuki Archalanu Hayeshua, the Ain Kates, the Mehara, the Chei Admon, Betzel Tzamon, Hakimanu, Rahim Shiva, we should be Zachat Alech, the Gechanaka Sameh, for us, for all of Kai, so for Eretz, so Bechama Kamshem. Very important, next week I'm doing Zoom only, it's Chanukah, we do have Shir, but it will be Zoom only. Besuras Tovos, a wonderful Shabbos, a Chodesh Tov, and Lech, the Gechanaka. Thank you so much. Kol Tov to all.